This is lesson number 6, Mishnayos Terumos, first perek, Mishnah Yud, and second perek, Mishnah Aleph. End of first perek, beginning of second. This is a retake or redoing of this particular lesson because there were technical problems with the first recording. In the last Mishnah of Perek Aleph of Maseches Terumos, we learn, Ein tormin midovo shenigmaro malachto al dovo shelo nigmaro malachto. We have already explained that the obligation of giving Truma begins at a certain point, certain stage in the process of harvesting and storing and packaging grain. The point at which it is obligated in Truma is called Miruach, and that is the point where the grain is put into bushels and the top of the bushels is smoothed over. That's a sign of Gemar Melocha. We finished, and now it's ready for market or consumption or whatever. If someone has two sets of grain, two storehouses or two heaps, adjacent to each other, but not the same. And one is Nigmaro Malachto, one has had the process of Miruach done to it, and the other is Lo Nigmaro Malachto, still before the Miruach. One cannot set aside Truma from that portion which is Nigmaro Malachto, which is finished, and the Miruach done on behalf of the rest of it, which is lo nigmaro malachto. Similarly, one cannot even be mafrish, set aside truma from one storeroom, let's say, of tavua, which is lo nigmaro malachto before miruach, al dovar on behalf of another bunch of grain, shenigmaro malachto. So you can't do it from something which is finished for something which is unfinished. And similarly, you cannot set aside from something which is unfinished toward that which is finished. More than that, v'lo midovar shalom nigmaro malachto al dovar shalom nigmaro malachto. If you have two heaps of grain near each other, and neither has had miruach yet, you cannot be mafrish from one to the other. Because l'chatchila, in the first instance, one should only be mafrish, finished grain, reach the product stage in the process called miruach. From that point on, you're a mafrish. However, v'yim tormu trumos on truma. If a person has given truma, set aside truma from the gamur, from the finished, al she'eino gamur, the unfinished, or vice versa, from the unfinished to the finished, or from the unfinished on behalf of the unfinished, in B'dieved, Trumoson is Truma. Now, there is a central difficulty with this Mishnah Yud when it is compared to Mishnah Dalet. In Mishnah Dalet, we learned that if someone gives Truma olives on behalf of olive oil or grapes on behalf of wine, then even after one has set aside the Truma, B'dieved ain't Trumoson Truma. The Truma is not valid. And the reason being, because it is very bothersome for a Kohen to take grapes and make them into wine, or olives and make it into olive oil. So therefore, we require finished product for finished product, olive oil for olive oil. Why is that not a factor in this particular Mishnah? This is a question which troubles the Mefarshim, and goes back to a discussion on this Mishnah in the Yerushalmi. As you know, there is no Talmud Bavli on Mishnayos Terumos, but there is a Talmud Yerushalmi on Mishnayos Terumos, and that, of course, is an important and essential source for understanding the Mishnah. Chizkiah, one of the early Amoraim in the Yerushalmi, says that the difference is whether there is Toreach v'Hefzed L'Kohen. In the case of olives on behalf of olive oil or grapes on behalf of wine, then even b'di'eved, if one sets aside grapes for wine, ein trumos on truma, because you're leaving the kohen with all his bother. However, in our Mishnah, we're not talking about an instance where it's very bothersome. Here, the Gemar Malacha is not grapes into wine or olives into olive oil. It is simply bushels of wheat which have had meruah, which have been finished over, smoothed over, and which have not been smoothed over. In that case, b'di'eved, trumoson truma. That's how Chizkiah explains it in the Yerushalmi, and that approach is the approach taken by many of the commentaries on the Mishnah. We move ahead now to Perek Sheni, to the second Perek, Mishnah Aleph. Now the halacha is that there's, of course, truma, tvua, which has been set aside for the Kohen, which is tohor, which has never become contaminated, impure, by coming into contact with sources of tuma. And there is a grain, truma, which is tome, which has. The fact is that the Kohen is allowed to use truma tomeya, but he's not allowed to eat it, he is allowed to consume it. So if, for example, it's wheat, he can use the wheat for fuel. If it's oil, olive oil, he can use it for fuel, for oil for his lamp, etc. If a person has a lot of grain, and it's all tame, it all was watered down, and then came into contact, let's say, with a person just returned from a funeral, or from a menstruant woman, or from some other source of tuma, then that grain is all tame. Nevertheless, you're obligated to give truma, truma tumeya, from the from the tvua tumeya. Suppose a person has two piles of grain. One is tohor, one is tome. So the Mishnah says, ein tor min mi tohor ala tome. One is not allowed to set aside truma from the tohor pile on behalf of the tome pile. However, if one did it, the eved, im tormu trumason truma. Now, the reason for this is because of another basic principle with which we've mentioned, and that is ein tormin shalomin hamukov. If I have some of my grain uptown, upstate, and some of my grain downstate, I cannot be mafresh, and I cannot set aside truma from the farm in the upstate on behalf of the grain in the downstate farm. This is not only true by upstate and downstate, this is true if I have two adjacent storehouses, but they're two separate buildings or whatever, then I cannot separate out, I cannot set aside truma from stockpile one for stockpile two if they're in different houses, different structures. That's shalom and hamukov. That's not near each other. It has to be proximate, next to each other. Now, in the case of a heap of tvua, which is tome, and a heap of tvua, which is tohor, the person has a special stake in not having these two heaps too close to each other, because then the tome tvua might make the tohor tvua tome. Therefore, the rule is better not even try to give truma from tvua tohora on behalf of tvua tomeima, because in the interest of making them both mukof, making them both proximate and next to, adjacent with one another, you may make them tome, and that's a problem. So therefore, l'chatchila ein tor mimin ha-tohor ala tome, according to the Tanakama. However, b'di'eved, if it's done, it's done. Be'emes omru, now be'emes omru is an expression which Rashi in various places in Shas defines be'emes omru as a halacha, a rule, ve'ein lahaseis ulegamgein badover, an uncontestable rule, a definite, clear, can't debate it. Yerushalmi says that emes omru means halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. Be that as it may, be'emes omru, it's a halacha psuka, it's a definite rule. That suppose you have a cluster or a package or a bundle tied together of various fruits, grain, etc. And part of that bundle, bushel or whatever, has become tame, and the other part not, which is conceivable. So the left side of it is Tameh, the right side is not Tameh. But it's one unit, as we'll see some examples in a moment. Then you can, in the first instance, set aside Truma from the Tohar part on behalf of the Tameh part. So the first example is, so Eagle shall devale, a ball of compressed figs. They're compressed into a ball. They're compressed, by the way, not with water, but with fruit juice of some sort, perhaps the juice of the figs themselves. And so they're pressed together. In this case, if a sheretz, for example, touches the left side of it, but not the right side of it, the left side is tamei, and the right side is not. In such an instance where it's one unit, one compressed eagle, one compressed ball, then lechatchila, in the first instance, toremin hatoha sheyeshbo, al hatome sheyeshbo, you can set aside truma from the tohar section of it, of this ball, on behalf of the tame section of this ball. This is not only true of a compressed ball, which is mamish, like one entity, but v'chein aguda shel yorok. It's also true of a bunch of vegetables, which are bundled together and tied together with a string or whatever. They're not compressed together, but they're tied together as one unit. You can be mafresh from the tohor on behalf of the tamei vegetables, yorokos, in that particular aguda bundle. V'chein aremo. The same thing is true of a heap, one heap of grain. The south side of it is tameh, the north side of it is tohar. You can, in the first instance, set aside truma from the tohar section on behalf of the tameh section. However, suppose it is not one unit, whether a compressed ball or a bundle or a single heap, but hayu shnei igulim, two different compressed balls of figs, one tameh, one tohar, or shtei agudos, two bundles of carrots, one tamei one tor, shtei aremos, two heaps of grain of wheat, the achas tamei of achas tohor, or one tamei one tor, then lo yitro mizel ze. The only heter, according to Tanakama, to be lechatchila tore mizel ze, is if it is all in one unit. Rabbi Eliezer, by the way, the Mishnah concludes, disagrees with the whole business and says, Rabbi Eliezer omer, tor min min hator la tamei. One is permitted to be mafrish Truma Tahora on behalf of Tvua Temeya. No problem. In fact, the Kohen's getting a certain advantage by having not to bother with Truma Temeya and only having Truma Tahora. Obviously, Rabbi Eliezer is not concerned that a person will be Toreim Shalo Min Hamukov. And so we have finished, actually for the second time, lesson number 6, Mishnayis Trumos, Perek 1, Mishnah 10, to Perek 2, Mishnah 1.